Hello, everyone. And I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Design for Victory podcast. Now, today's teaching is going to be about the fear of the Lord, a call to fear the Lord. And this outline has already been pre-written, so we're going to be using the King James Bible for a lot of the scriptures that we're going to be looking over. Father God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder even to the joints and the marrows. Father God, I thank you for your servant, Charles Finney, who, when he just simply looked at somebody, Lord, as he was in a factory, it immediately brought the conviction of the Lord in that factory. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is clean. Father God, I thank you for deliverances, healing, just needs met, Lord, as I teach the Word of God. And do you want to read in here?
And all? You can go read in there if you want to do your podcast in here.
It doesn't matter to me.
It's up to you.
I'll do it in here. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for giving me the ability to speak, Lord, to articulate the Word of God. And I thank you for the signet ring anointing, Lord. That the courts of In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, something that God has been speaking to my heart about lately is the fear of God. And as it relates to what I had taught previously about speaking up for America, you know, speaking up and not doing a repeat to the German church, I still hold to those statements. However, I believe that at this time God is capitalizing on the church, that we as the church need to repent. We need to turn, John Bevere, in his studies, as he was writing the book Killing Kryptonite, he said that there's one, I think it was a Baker's Dictionary is what it's called, but it's a Bible study tool you can use. What they wrote was that repentance means not just changing your mind, but it means changing your personality concerning, you know, like, for instance, you know, you let's say you said you followed Jesus, but yet you went after other, you know, like your business or whatever, and you started worshiping idols in this way, in this respect. Repentance wouldn't just be to change your mind, think the way God thinks, but it would be to totally change your whole attitude. Okay, God says this is wrong. I shouldn't put my business or whatever before God, so I'm going to change my mind. I mean, I'm going to totally do an about face with my whole attitude. And that's the definition that I have adopted. And so I want to begin We're gonna look at the book of Acts. And what I'm also gonna do is I'm gonna read, I've already read this prophecy at one point in time, but I'm gonna read it, I'm probably gonna feel like I need to read it again. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. Now, I want to stop at verse 6 for a moment. I want to address something that I heard, and that I sense that the Spirit of God wants me to mention. Not too long ago, I listened to an old video from a guy by the name of Leon Dupreez talking about African witchcraft in the church. But he also mentioned this very passage of scripture about Ananias and Sapphira, that they were not saved. They were not Christians. But here's the problem with that. I think it's in Matthew, but it's in one of the gospel accounts on the Lord's Supper, that after Jesus had broke bread with the disciples, the word of God says, Satan filled the heart of Judas. And he immediately ran out and began to betray Jesus. And I'm paraphrasing. Now let me just say this. If somebody is already a non-believer, they've never heard the gospel. Let's say Ananias and Sapphira were frauds, and they were trying to extort the church. Peter would not have said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart? Because mark my words, the Bible says, if you are not a son of God, if you are not walking in the light, and I'm paraphrasing, I think it's in 1 John, you are already a child of the devil. One passage of scripture states you are a son of disobedience. So therefore, Satan takes, basically rules your life. He rules your mind. He is your Lord. Whether you are serving self, or you are worshiping another god, or even if you're an atheist, Satan is your Lord if you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Therefore, Ananias and Sapphira were Christians. I want to make that plain. They were Christians. But what happened is, if you look at the previous chapter in Acts chapter 4, verses, I think, 35 to 37, Barnabas, who was called Joses, J-O-S-E-S, had given a lump sum of money to the church, laid it at the apostles' feet, that he had, I think, sold land. And you can look at this chapter here. And Ananias and Sapphira thought, well, they basically had conspired. They wanted to look good in the eyes of the church. And they thought they could fool the Apostle Peter. They thought they could fool the church. But they couldn't. I mean, they could probably fool man. Like, had Peter not been discerning, he would have thought, oh, cool. You know, you praise God. You sold your land, and, you know, this is... But he was discerning. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he knew, wait a minute. No, you didn't lie to me. You didn't lie to men. You lied to God. And so, but they were trying in the flesh. They were irreverent toward God. They did not have the fear of God in their hearts, or they would have never done this. And I want to state that real plain. And I don't, I mention this because this is where I got this, that video is where I got this idea from. But there are many others, I believe, who hold to that. If they hold to the hyper grace teaching, they hold to this very belief. At least some do. There may be others that believe, yeah, they were Christians, you know. But I wanted to address this regardless of, you know, whatever. You know, who knows it and all that, who adheres to it, whatever. I wanted to address this and make it plain. They were believers. So if they can do something like this, what makes us think we can't? Or, hold on. I apologize. So, what I meant was, we must take heed lest we think that we are something and we let them fall. Okay? I apologize for how that came out. But I really felt from the Lord that, hey, this is something that we need to address. Verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. What are some other ways that you can tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. This very subject is something that our pastor, Judy, has been... in studying numbers and stuff, this is something that we have been discussing at church as of late. And actually, I'm going to be using the New King James. I'm going to be using the Bible app. And, all right, Matthew 4. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward When they had ended, he was hungry. Talking about Jesus. Jesus was hungry after 40 days. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, this is verse 12, and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Verse 13 says, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." And after that, he begins his ministry. Jesus does. One way. Now, I wanna also mention something else that I heard today that I really am thankful that it was said by someone who is of the persuasion of the Word of Faith teaching, Word of Faith movement. And it's rare that you'll find people, as far as I've observed, that will say something like this. And somewhat, you know, I don't fall into the category of any particular movement, but I do follow a lot of Word of Faith teaching, so I consider myself somewhat of this movement. But it's rare that you'll find someone who will say, you know, what this guy, Dr. Francis Miles, that I'd like to listen to, he said, God could have sent a platoon of angels, and I'm paraphrasing, to protect Jesus when he was born, to keep Herod from killing him. He said, but folks, or something to the effect, he said, and I can't remember the exact wording, but he said, we have to use common sense in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. He said, in other words, you can't just, every time you turn around, expect God to descend send his angels, say, to protect your house or your car or yourself or your home, whatever, your business. Although that's one thing that can be done. God does send angels, but you too have to have alarm systems. That's one thing. Or security. Healing. This is not something that was mentioned, but I'm just using this as an example. People like to say you shouldn't go to doctors. But that's tempting God. You know, I'm going to tell you my testimony. I had gallstones. I had them for a year and a half, and I think I got my surgery about last year. I think it was. Hold on. Hey, Mom?
Yep.
Did I get my surgery from gallstones last year?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling my testimony on this deal, so I just thought I'd ask. Alright. So, I asked Mom and my mom and she said it was within the last couple years. But I had them, I had the actual gallstones for a year and a half. Trying to diet, try to see if maybe they could go away with it by way of dieting or whatever. But eventually, you know, the doctor said they got so big that had I not come in, say I would have waited a little later, it would have been too late. I would have died prematurely. And I tell you this because it's tempting God to think that He's just going to snap His fingers and heal you, so to speak. And I'm even learning, I tell you else, something else, I just a side note, not really, but yet a little bit. I'm learning the ways of God. And this is another testimony. This is a testimony to the glory of God and what He has taught me as well. But it also shows another way how we should not tempt God. We should not put Him in a box or limit Him. So there was one day that I listened to, I think it was the one on, I think it was like number 8 or number 9, but it was on the Heresy of Cessationism series by Daniel Kalinda. And he was, at the end of this episode, he showed where there were miracles that were people that were being healed. One of them happened to be a blind person. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, I need you to take hold of that healing. So I laid hands on my eyes and prayed in the Holy Spirit. And He said, all right, now you're healed. He said, thank me for your healing. And so that's all I have to do now. I just have to praise God that I am healed. Circumstances haven't changed, but I have faith that sooner or later, the manifestation of what has been done in the spirit will come, the natural. And so we cannot limit God as to one way that He's going to heal us. Or one way that He, you know, we cannot tempt the other ways that if you read the book of Exodus, if you read the first 5 books of the Bible, basically, but in particular the story of the Exodus from Exodus to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, if you read those 4 books, or maybe even just Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, because Leviticus talks about the offerings, but anyway, if you read those accounts, you'll see that many times when the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, the leaders that God had put over them. But they all, even Moses and Aaron said, you do not complain against me, you complain against the Lord. And so, you know, and one thing I read lately is, and this all really helps me a lot, and I believe the Holy Spirit, I give credit to the Lord. He teaches me no matter what I'm reading. But one aspect we have to consider is that when we, and this is from the book, The Supernatural, The Ancient Blueprint for the Supernatural. And yeah, So, what this book said was, complaining shows that in certain circumstances you are angry at God. And that blew my mind. That's one aspect that you can tempt God. I mean, that you can test God. The Psalms talk about, don't test me like the children of Israel did at Meribah. You know, when that was the time when there was no water, and they said, you know, why did you bring us out of Egypt to bring us into a place where there was no water? So I'm going to go on from this point. I would just encourage you. Here's an action step. Ask the Holy Spirit, have I tested you lately? Have I tested you lately? And if so, how? It may not be in any of these ways that I've mentioned, but he'll show you. So I wanted to give you that action step. And Lord, I realize that in some points I'm rambling on, so I ask that you would give me the spirit of wisdom to continue with this teaching. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now what I want to do invite you. I don't know when this is going to be, but Pastor Mickey at some point is going to be ministering on progressive Christianity versus traditional Christianity. I want you to consider, I would encourage you, this may not be something that you want to hear, but I would encourage you to subscribe to this YouTube channel and to this podcast, because it's something that we all need to hear, and it's something this nation must hear. It's something that is for the Big C Church. And it's, you know, for the whole body of Christ. Now, I want to read to you this prophetic word that Pastor Mickey wrote in pages 132 to 134 in iBooks. This is in Nostradamus Saddam Hussein Armageddon. Here's what the Lord has him write. To the pastors, preachers, and teachers of God, listen to the word of the Lord. There is sin in my camp, and thou hast not sought me as thou knowest thou should. Thou hast not taught the word of the Lord that thou knowest to. Thou hast kept thy eye on the offering plate, and hast said in thy heart, if only I tell them good things, easy things, then it will come, and my offering, then more will come, and my offering will be bigger. And if I don't offend any, I myself will be popular, and who knows where it will end. Thou slothful, disobedient servant, did thou knowest if you bury thy talent, I will take from thee what thou thinkest thou hast? Dead preachers, preaching dead sermons to dead people. Repent before I remove thy candlestick from thy place, and thy name be removed from the book of life, unless thou repent. Now let me, you know, going back to that book I told you about, Killing Kryptonite. And I say this, this is something I never thought of until recently. So Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5 about a man who was committing incest, a man who was committing some type, at least, you know, some say incest, but some type of sexual immorality. And the Corinthian church let him in. And the way John Bevere puts it, he says, they could have been thinking, well, he's a baby Christian, so let's just give him some grace, give him some time. Maybe he'll leave it on his own. And Paul said, and John said, they could have been thinking, maybe, you know, because he could have been an influential man. They could maybe thought, it'll take away from our ties if we tell him, if we confront his sin. All of the same things that we think today. Something else I want you to ponder. Why is it that we as people like to mainly preach or teach or say things uplifting to people? We're more concerned with our own reputation than we are loving that person. The Bible says, I think it's in Leviticus 19. Let me go there. I've got that in my real Bible. Alright, turn with me to Leviticus 19. It says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Oh yeah, just 19 verse 17. Exit out of Leviticus 19, 17. So, again it says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. What is it saying? If somebody, in the context that I've been learning, here's how I look at it. If I am a leader of a church and somebody is sinning, practicing sin, I'm not talking about making a mistake here and there and then repenting. I'm talking about habitual. What I've learned that we have to do, you know, it's going to be leaven that's going to affect the whole loaf, so to speak. It affects the whole body eventually if we don't deal with it. It's in the same way, spiritually, it's like sin is like a spiritual disease. A contagious spiritual disease or sickness. That if we don't deal with it, it's going to spread. And so therefore, we have to confront sin. And I don't mean beat people up. I mean in love. And I'm going to pray for us today as well that God would give us the love of the Holy Spirit. Actually, I forgot that I think it was last week when I preached on speaking the truth in love, I had asked the Holy Spirit to baptize us, the whole church, in love. So we can't be too uplifting, but we can't be too hard. We just have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us find a balance. Again, this prophecy continues, and it says, "The teachers of my word, hear the Lord thy God. Thou would teach us that I wink at sin, that I will not hold all accountable for their actions. But know this, I do hold all accountable, and thou that would teach the doctrines of Baal, be sure I will hold thee accountable unto me, saith God." Hear how terrible the sins are that thou winkest at. "I sent my only begotten Son to die for thee, and to break the spirit of sin from thee, that thou would not be bound by Satan. The sin issue has been resolved by my Son's death, but ye seek to crucify him over and over and over again and again. Do not mock or tempt the Lord thy God. Repent and seek me, and I will restore thee to even a greater glory, and thou shalt teach my people. Here is the way of the Lord, walk ye in it. And to those that refuse to repent, ye are twice dead, doomed forever and ever, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Most High." Something I found as I read the book of Exodus today, I was reading about the building of the tabernacle. And God tells Moses how to build the tabernacle. He says, "Build the tabernacle after the pattern that I have shown you up here on the mountain." And then he gives Moses the instructions on how to build the laver, the bronze altar, how to make the anointing oil, how to make the priestly garments, altar of incense, the bronze altar, the horns of the altar, the measurements of the tabernacle, things like that. And then he tells Moses, "I have set apart Bezalel and I think Uriah and Aholiab as artisans, workmen, and I have filled them with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding, and they will build this tabernacle after the pattern I have shown you here." And they build this tabernacle. And then they carry it to Moses for him to inspect it. And he says it is good. And then they put all the pieces in place. This is like the last few chapters of Exodus. And then, once everything is in place as God instructed Moses, the glory of God filled the tabernacle. I apologize for the background noise. It filled the tabernacle to the point where Moses couldn't even enter into the tabernacle. Okay? Now, why do I say this? Okay? Why do I say this? First, God gave Moses an order. Moses, as oversight, had to make sure that everything was in the correct order. So first comes order, divine order, not religion, but divine order. And then comes God's glory. This is something I first learned through reading John Bevere's book on the Fear of the Lord. But then I found it out. It's like the Word of God solidified it today as I read. First comes the divine order, then comes the glory of God. And, I listen to a lot of videos, but I listen to videos and read the Bible. And this is kind of, I learn a lot. I like to learn from God's servants. And, anyway. But I learned this week, as I listened to, basically, that it's going to be different when it comes to the Seven Mountain Mandate. It's going to be different than we thought. And revival is going to be required. People who don't really care about God and what God has to say, once the glory comes down, once they see God for who He really is, then they're going to go, wait a minute, God says that? If you want to change a certain law, it was a sermon by Dutch Sheets that I found this out on. When you want to change a certain law, then they're going to go, oh, God cares about that? Okay. And they're going to want that law changed. You know, when revival happens, the societal transformation that we're seeking happens. But I believe the first step is the fear of God. The church has got to fear God again. We have got, you know, the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. And Father, I ask right now, in spite of that, well, let me just go to, I apologize. Oh, it's in there. Okay. I ask for an angel of cleansing, Lord, to come and cleanse us, or for seraphim who are responsible for the cleansing, to come and cleanse us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. First comes the angel of cleansing, then comes the angel of glory. As God, Lord, as your servant, Jeremiah Johnson, as you told him, first comes the angel of cleansing, then the angel of glory. So I thank you for that. You know, there is a repeated scripture that we have read actually. Let's just read Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, put out by Wernick, defines froward as one, commonly stubbornly contrary and disobedient, obstinate, two, not willing to yield or comply with what is required or is reasonable, perverse, disobedient, peevish, three, disobedient, contrary, unmanageable, difficult to deal with an evil disposition. Leviticus 10:1-3. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Now, I'm going to do something different today. Okay? What I want to do, what I feel from the Lord that I need to lead you in a prayer. If you want Now, let me ask you a question. Jesus said, I don't do anything except that which I saw my Father do. I don't say anything except for that which I hear my Father say, basically. Do you want, at this time, to give up an independent spirit? Do you want to give up the froward mouth? Maybe even the froward walk? Do you want to give up stubbornness? The disposition that says, God, I don't care what you have to say. If your answer is yes, what I want to do is, and I would encourage you to, you know, maybe in this instance, pick up Issuing Divine Restraining Orders from the Courts of Heaven by Dr. Francis Miles and Robert Henderson. And it'll talk a little bit more about it, but and probably begin just reading on the Courts of Heaven. But I want to walk you through a prayer on this next segment, and I'll let you know the pages that it's from and everything as I do it. But it's from that book. Actually, it's going to be from the prayers, and there's two books. One is Issuing Divine Restraining Orders from the Courts of Heaven. The other one is Issuing Divine Restraining Orders from the Courts of Heaven, Prayers and Activations. So it doesn't have the teaching, it just has the prayers and activations in it. So it makes it easier for people to, you know, like on the table of contents and stuff, it makes it easier for you to find the prayer that you're looking for. But what I want to do is I want to pray with you. And at the end of this prayer, I'm gonna pray for you. But what I want you to do, those of you that may follow Dr. Francis Miles, you know, his prayer marathons and stuff. This isn't live. This is just after a teaching on the fear of the Lord. And I feel like for the altar call, God wants me to do it this way. So what I want you to do. And here's how I do it. Now, I don't know how God speaks to you, but any prayers, as Richard Lorenzo said in one of his settings when he was taking people in the courts of heaven, just say, pray this prayer with me in faith and you'll thank me later. But anyway, God, usually as I'm going into the courts of heaven, you know, as I'm doing these prayers, God will tell me what it is I need to repent of, whether it be I need to stand, you know, and, you know, repent concerning generational curses, whatever it may be. God usually tells me as I'm doing the prayer. So what I want you to do at any given time, if God tells you I want you to pause this now. I'm gonna pray. Father, I thank you right now for breaking up the fallow ground. Anything that would be in the way of the people of God being able to hear the Holy Spirit as we go into the courts of heaven together. Father, I ask that you would move all obstacles out of the way. Those that say, yes, I want to have an independent spirit, or I do not want to have an independent, rebellious spirit anymore. I just ask that you would move everything out of the way, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Lord, as we pray, I ask that you would baptize all of us in the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name, Lord, please. Well, not please, but I'm asking you, Lord, that you not, that when we do this restraining order together, you would make it to the point where your people do not make the same mistakes that I made when I regressed out of it and violated my restraining order that I petitioned the courts for by way of listening to true crime documentaries and other worldly, possibly even demonic shows that were not pleasing to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm gonna come back. Before I pray this, I'm gonna find out what pages we're gonna be reading it from. It's gonna be on iBooks. Actually, we're not gonna go to another segment. What I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna tell you what chapter it is on the what prayer you can find this in, because that way if you've got the book, either if you have the divine restraining order or issuing divine restraining orders from the courts of heaven book, but you don't have the one that just has the prayers and activations, either way it'll be a different page, but either way you'll be able to find it in whatever book you choose to use. So we're just going to go right into it, okay? I just really felt from the Lord that, hey, this is something that we need to do. So anyway, let me go to the table of contents here. Hold on, guys. Probably should have done another. Segment. Okay, so it's a divine restraining order over your life. This is prayer number 12. For those of you that want to find this, and I'm just going to read this directly from the book. I want you to repeat this after me, okay? So, Heavenly Father, I stand in your royal courtroom because of the blood and finished work of Jesus on the cross. I have come to receive your righteous judgment over your life, over my life. Now, I want to stop for a minute. I forgot to say this. But when we pray and we say, I have come to receive your righteous judgment over my life, what you're doing is, you're, in this case, you're protecting you from yourself. This is, it's, all judgment is, it's God is making a decision. You're basically saying, Father, I've come to receive your righteous verdict on my behalf over my life. It's basically what you're saying. When you pray this. So I didn't want anyone to get any misconceptions like, oh no, I'm gonna be judged now. You know, in a sense you are, but it's not anything you have to be terrified about. So say, Heavenly Father, I ask that the courts of heaven be seated according to Daniel 7:10. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Heavenly Father, I call upon your holy angels to be witnesses to this legal and just in case some of you didn't get it, to be witnesses to this legal and righteous transaction, I also decree and declare that all the demonic entities, institutions, and human beings who will be impacted directly by the divine restraining order that I am requesting will be duly notified by your holy angels who service the courts of heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. What are you saying, Lord? Okay, if any of you are praying this that are not yet followers of Jesus Christ, you have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, we're gonna, with you, I wanna explain something right quick. So the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It also says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, as we've been stating here. And so you have to lay down your whole life. Now, in order to petition the courts of heaven for a divine restraining order, you have to be willing to lay your whole life down. Okay? God's going to restrain you after you get through with this petitioning of the courts. But first and foremost, your first step is to come to know Jesus Christ. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to incorporate that into this prayer for those that have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Alright. I say, Heavenly Father, I decree and declare that every demonic entity, earthly institution, and human being, including me, will respect, honor, and abide by your righteous judgment, in Jesus' mighty name. now. I apologize. I didn't turn my do not disturb on, so so we said, Heavenly Father, your word says that Jesus is my faithful advocate before the righteous judge in the courts of heaven. Lord Jesus Christ, I summon you as my advocate to help me plead my case before the righteous judge for a divine restraining order over my life that will govern my God-given destiny. Lord, it is not your will for me to do whatever I want, when I want. In Jesus' name I pray. Heavenly Father, I present before your court the following scriptures as evidence why you should show me the divine restraining order that you have placed over my life to govern and order it. It is written. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. John 5, verse 19. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. As it is written in Luke 22, verse 42. Heavenly Father, based upon the aforementioned scriptures, it is clear that if the court does not impose a divine restraining order over my life to govern and order it, the devil will cause great injury to my life and destiny and inflict irreparable damage to the purposes of God by causing me to do my will instead of God's will. Heavenly Father, I repent for violating any divine restraining order you had previously placed upon my life, including any such orders that my parents have petitioned this court for on my behalf. I ask that every legal right the devil has over my life be revoked in Jesus' glorious name. Heavenly Father, I also repent for all covenants with demons that have existed in my ancestral bloodline. Lord, I ask that any agreement with demons would be rescinded. Lord, any demonic right to claim me and my bloodline is now dismissed before your courts in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for revoking these demonic covenants and altars in Jesus' mighty name. Now I'm going to try to say these a little bit faster, say, Heavenly Father, I divorce myself from an independent spirit that is not submitted to God. I give back everything that the devil, demons, and demonic altars would say came from them. I only want what the blood of Jesus secured for me. I'm gonna pray in the spirit a minute. I feel like there's something the Lord wants to say to me. Some of you are going to need to seal this divine restraining order by getting deliverance after we pray. So Heavenly Father, oh, and by the way, as of right now, if any demonic spirits have manifested while they are praying, I command you to go down now in Jesus' name. You are in torment until such time as they seek deliverance. I want you to now say, Heavenly Father, I now ask that a divine restraining order be imposed on my life by your Supreme Court. In Jesus' name I pray. Heavenly Father, I decree, and I would encourage you to say this with authority, I decree that any independent spirit over my life is now broken in Jesus' glorious name. Lord, I thank you for the ear and the tongue of the learned, as your Son Jesus Christ had, as it was prophesied by Isaiah. Heavenly Father, I receive this divine restraining order by faith. In Jesus' name, I decree and declare that you shall fulfill all the days of my life that you wrote in my book of destiny long before you created me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, it's done. We have officially... now I want to pray for you. But now, the Book of Destiny, those words are not explicitly found in the Bible, but the concept is found in Psalms 139, verses 14 to 16. Basically, just looking at in Psalm 139, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It is another one. And I think there may be some other scriptures as well, but that's... those are two that I know of that have the concept about the Book of Destiny. So I want to pray. Father, I thank you right now. I can sense the spirit of the fear of the Lord in this room. Lord, even as I record this podcast. Father God, I thank you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank you, Lord, for doing signs and wonders following, Father. Lord, I thank you that a divine restraining order has been issued on behalf of your people, Lord, for our lives, Lord. I thank you, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, that, Father, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. If you are for us, who can be against us? Greater are you who is in us, who are in us, than Satan who is in the world. And Father, I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I ask that you would seal these proceedings in the courts of heaven. In the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you that even those that are newborn babes in Christ now, Father God, the same fire that they have now, they're going to have 40 or 50 years from now if you should tarry. Regardless, Lord, I thank you that they're going to always have this fire, Father. The spirit of the fear of the Lord shall continually want to be rebaptized in this spirit of the fear of the Lord, which will seal this divine restraining order. I ask that these proceedings would also be sealed, and that these restraining orders would also be sealed by the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, I want to congratulate every one of you who have prayed with me and who have sought a divine restraining order over our own lives, who has sat through this teaching, this message on the fear of the Lord, and also for those of you that prayed, welcome to the family of God. I believe that I believe that heaven is celebrating right now. And so I'm going to do something that I haven't done before. Of course, you can go to boblarson.org and justind.com and dwjd.org. But I feel from the Lord, someone that the Holy Spirit wants me to mention for you to as a recommendation is Liberation Freedom Ministry, who also was trained under Bob Larson's ministry. I always, even recommendations and announcements, I always try to follow the Holy Spirit. But anyway, these are some resources that you can take a look at. If you want to know more about spiritual warfare in particular, you know, there's things about the courts of heaven that if you were to try to learn, there's some places that may, for some people, may be harder to learn than others. So if you just want to simply learn about spiritual warfare, want to learn about spiritual warfare, then you can simply find the Blind Exorcist podcast and Bob Larson's YouTube channel. Now, for those of you that may look at the Liberation Freedom Ministry website, Bob Larson's website also has different encounters that you may be interested in. And also the Do What Jesus Did teams do it. They do it free. I was just kind of thinking about anyway. And although some do recommend, you know, charging, they for the most part do it free. So these are your options. And if you enjoyed this podcast, I want to encourage you to like, comment, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell. I also want to invite you to I want to invite you to subscribe. Like I said before, Pastor Mickey's going to be preaching on progressive Christianity and stuff. But with us doing this divine restraining order together, with us seeking the Lord for a restraining order, I believe the pill is going to be a lot easier for those of you that prayed to swallow. If you believe in progressive Christianity, so or if maybe you formerly did. Anyway, however you'd say that. So I just would encourage you to stay tuned. Also, get into the Bible. Start by reading the book of Matthew, or you can some say start by reading the book of John, which is what I usually prefer to mention. Start by reading the book of John. But, you know, since we just started teaching on the fear of the Lord and stuff, it may not really matter to you what, but I do encourage you. Some people at least get confused by the Old Testament, by what is written there, so I would encourage you to start with the New Testament, no matter what book you start on, in the Gospels. Start with the Gospels, and then once you get them into your spirit, read the Epistles, you know, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, or to the Galatians, or Colossians, or whatever, and on down to the book of Revelation. And then, you know, just do that until you get that into your spirit, and then you can start the Old Testament. Because the New Testament looks back at the Old, and the Old foreshadows the New. So, as scholars say. So, I just wanted to thank you for that, I mean, to mention that. And we will see you next time. God bless.